Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I think my life is rough and difficult.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I look at you and I go, I can make it through another day.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Oh, okay. Don't quit your day job. So we got Joe in the chat room. We got Nora sitting on deck.
Hey, my girl Nora.
So let's talk to Nora real quick and we'll see what's going on out back east, because we're gonna make a phone call to Ted Alva from played on the Sons of Anarchy. We'll be up here. He'll be up here shortly as soon as we get done talking to Nora. Are you there?
Oh, excellent. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Just letting Bill bust.
It's just hot here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hot here today, too.
Listen, I don't want to ruin tonight's show. I just want you to promise me next week you tune in. But I can't tell you any reason why or nothing.
Don't do that.
I can't do it. I'm just telling you.
Don't do that.
I want you to tune in next week.
I got to confirm that.
I didn't say anybody.
Yeah, okay. But
you can do celebrity voices. You can do President Nixon or something. Don't worry about it. We can figure it out. You're okay. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm not a crook, though, so don't worry about it.
You're not a crook.
So what else is going on? Nothing? How's your grandson?
We finally got a phone call to see about the rescheduling on the surgery. They're not doing anything for September, so we're still waiting on that. But in the meantime, they're going to start motor skill developmental therapy next week, and hopefully that'll help some, because he scoots around, you know, but not on his hands and knees yet. He's still very delayed. So we just hang in there and enjoy everything we can with him, you know. He's not talking yet. He's, you know, it is what it is until everything gets done.
Your family holding up and everybody. I know it's kind of stressful, this back and forth, and I know everybody's hoping the operation is going to be over, and you know, but how's the whole family holding up?
Well, he was admitted when he was supposed to have, the day before he was supposed to have the surgery, and it was around 9 o'clock that evening. He was released because in 4 hours, they didn't give him formula. My daughter gave him a water bottle. Didn't know that would bring his sodium level very low and his blood draw. So the surgeons, they canceled, because if they would have, even if they wanted to try and did a surgery the following morning, his brain would have swelled. He would have had seizures on the table and would have caused permanent damage. So good insight for the surgeons to cancel it, you know. So now, but we went through a funk. You know, because we were just so hyped up for the surgery and everything. And when it was canceled, it was just like, I don't know, we just went in this frame of not really talking, you know. It's just very draining, you know, emotionally. But we're doing the best we can to get through it and hang in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did tell you, maybe I didn't tell you, I should clarify that. I mentioned it to my wife, and I've asked my wife to include your family in her prayers. I would really tell you that you're included in my prayers, but you're in my thoughts.
Thank you.
She's got you in her thoughts and her prayers. I promise you that, dear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me,
I appreciate that.
All right, let me call this guy real quick. He's trying to call me.
Okay.
By the way, we haven't introduced the name of the show yet, have we?
No.
This is the Sam Crow Motorcycle Radio. And we got the guest on my left is Philip Hennigan. And we're the interviewers. And the other interviewer, myself, Bill Kennedy. This will be a new show every Wednesday night. God willing, the creeks don't rise. And computers...
Hi, you reached 909-376-2126. My name is Ted. Your call is important. Please leave your name.
Hello?
Hello, Ted. Sorry about
How
that.
How you doing?
We got...
What's that?
I said we talked to one of the callers real quick.
One of the people from
okay.
Boston?
No, Chicago.
Chicago just question. Okay, yeah.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing okay tonight.
How you doing?
Good, good, good. I called you on another phone or on this one, and it didn't go through, so I'm like, okay, called you guys on the other phone, so we finally got you. All right. We're here.
Yeah, we were going to call you, but we didn't want to she was telling us the story. I mean, we didn't want to interrupt her, so we gave her a little more time.
Right on.
Why don't you tell everybody who our guest is tonight, Philippe?
Well, this is Ted Alva, Bill.
I know that.
He's kind of a local legend in California here because of
the lifestyle, the way
the
he
lifestyle.
Holds himself.
Exactly.
And recently, you would have to say that being on the Sons of Anarchy for a couple seasons. Ted, how many seasons were you on Sons of Anarchy?
I was on 2 seasons, season 4, season 5.
Okay. And I want to ask you about we got a bunch of people that are trying to get through like that, but some of the people just text a message because they're a little bit nervous asking. So can you tell the people, like how did you get involved with Sons of Anarchy? I mean, first of all, it's a dream for everybody that wants, you know, oh, man, I want to be on TV. Sons of Anarchy is cool, but you're living the dream. How did you get involved in all that? Can you tell our listeners, please?
Well, basically, it was a spark that somebody kind of, everybody else told me that I should be on the show. And basically, with so many people asking me, I figured, let me try to get on. And had never seen the show. Didn't know it was, like, the number one cable watch show in the world, not in California, not on the East Coast, in the world, basically. And once I got on, and I'd never seen an episode prior to being on it, and it's great. I mean, it's, you know, just, I think you could say I pursued it. Once I finally pursued it, then the doors opened up, and so just whatever you want, go after it, because it will happen.
Listen, I'm laughing a little bit because in the beginning, the Sons of Anarchy, hardly any of them could even ride a motorcycle. So now when you came in, you are a motorcycle rider. We're not going to use the word bike or anything. You're a guy who lives and breathes on his motorcycle. You're also involved with cars and trucks and all that. But when you came on the season, by the fifth season, did you say? Fourth season.
Yeah, fourth season.
Everybody could ride a motorcycle. Did you feel comfortable doing the pack scenes, the group scenes on the freeway, or were you still concerned that there was so many different levels of experience riding down the freeway? Now, granted,
well,
you know how to ride, but some of them didn't. How'd you feel about that?
Well, you know what? The only ride that I rode with all of them was not actually on TV. It was actually the ride home from Disney Ranch, and basically there was no jackets, there was no clubs. It was just us and the guys, the Mayans and the Suns, and we rode down through Hollywood, through L.A. I think me and Ray Vasquez end up at a bar 3 in the morning or something like that. But that was the real riding. I think that would probably, you know, and the next day, lunchtime, they were all talking, and like, this guy just pulls up and he's just riding. And we're all, you know, we all rode in a pack home. And that was the great. And it's, I mean, with any rider, if you haven't ridden with anybody, you just gotta always watch out because you don't know. You know, I ride with a few guys all the time, and so I know their habits. They know mine, and so you just gotta be careful when you're riding with new people. But that one night, I think that's one of Hollywood's best nights as well, Hollywood Cardenas. But yeah, we rode down from the set all the way to different off-ramps. Everybody shot off different off-ramps through Hollywood, you know. And, yeah, me and Ray end up riding the longest all the way into Whittier, end up at a bar. So it was pretty good. It was a good time.
Listen,
but
that's
just
got
to watch out.
Sir, while you're with the cast, was there any special members of the cast that you gravitate to? Did you make any new friends with some of the people you really thought, hey, this guy stand up?
Well, you know, I think we're all stand up kind of guys. I mean, I've always been told stand up, But I mean, you know, you got Ron Starantino, you got a few guys in there. You know, when you call them up and you talk to them, you know, they're down to the people. You know what I mean? I mean, life goes on and everybody's busy doing different things for different reasons. But for the most part, everybody's stand-up kind of guy, you know. I mean, if you need me, I'm there.
Yeah. Over the course of the year, different events, Philip and I've been at, and we've met them from, oh, my God, the Big Bear Ride to the Easy Rider shows, all the stuff we've done. We've never had anybody with an ounce of attitude or ego. And that's pretty cool for, you know, TV stars and all that. They said, hey, you guys doing? Come on, sit down, man, have a soft drink. You know, what's going on? Especially at Big Bear. It was damn hot that day. They said, come inside where it's air conditioned. I said, oh, yeah, I'm all good for that stuff. So we've appreciated meeting them. And never once, and I say this, never once do we have anybody that was snobbish to us or anything like that. Everybody was really good to go. Now, one of the questions we have, I'm trying to read all these questions here. People want to ask me, what's the future? Will the Sons of Anarchy be springboarded for you into other movies or TV shows, or how are you going to take advantage of your exposure through Sons of Anarchy?
Well, me myself, I guess Emilio Rivera once told me on the phone, never quit, don't quit. And I myself never thought I'd be on TV, maybe either on a milk carton or America's Most Wanted, but... You know, not on TV like that. And, I mean, it's a great thing. And, you know, I look at myself on TV or on a video that I buy, and, you know, I'm always like, it always puts a smile on my face. But what I did is I registered through a casting agency, and, I mean, I went Hangover 3. Then Parenthood called me. And then Robot Combat League. I mean, and... So I was fortunate, you know, it was just my time, and I got called, and a lot of these agencies, you got to look for your own work and call them up and see if they'll tell you if you fit the description. But no, so they called me up and, how would you like to be? And like, great. Then I'm doing I think it's called Encarnaturas, and it's like, it's a movie that's being put out right now, and I play good cop, bad cop, kind of clairvoyant, psychic, kind of, you know, it's going to be fun. We've shot twice already, and we're, you know, it just, hope it snowballs. I hope it just snowballs in something great, and if not, you know, I mean, I'm always working. I'm always doing something, riding my bike, going to shows, events, you know, even... My friend needs me, I go down his house, middle of the night, middle of the day, flat tire, trailer, whatever you need. You know, if I can be there, I'll be there.
Yeah.
So,
Ted, now, where
you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
there's good people everywhere.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this here. Are you looking for new challenges? Maybe the next thing you're a security guard, or maybe you're a school teacher. Are you looking to take on any different roles or... how's the future hold for that?
Well, I'd say the, I mean, you never know. Whatever comes my way, and it's, I'm not gonna say, as long as it depicts me in a good way. Like, you know, I've been asked to put on some little tight Reno 911 shirt. I won't do that. You know what I'm saying? I've asked to be put in spandex, and I won't do that. But if it's in good taste. And like this one that I'm doing now, I'm a good cop, bad cop, you know, kind of psychic, kind of, I mean, I'll do it, you know what I mean? And I'm that guy that I'll, if the producer needs somebody, some extras, some background, I'll call them. I'm not, you know, it's not all only about me. It's about getting other people into the spotlight as well,
well,
you know what I mean?
And we have a caller that's about... Now, do you have a sandbag card, or can you speak in the films? How does that work? Is your actor?
You need a SAG. Yeah, you need a SAG, which is a Screeners Actors Guild card. And I wish I don't. You need one to speak, unless it's like a one of those reality TVs where you know. I guess they get through the union, but you need one to speak. And and you need three vouchers to be able to. A voucher is like a receipt that you get when you go on set, and it's either AFTRA or SAG, and they're two unions. So you got to appear three times and receive. It could be a different show, it could be the same show, but you need three,
right.
And then you're able to join SAG-AFTRA union. And when you get that, then you're, you know, you should go union, you know. But back then, when I didn't know anything about that, it was $1,700. Now it's $3,000. So I've heard people, if they want you, they'll foot the bill. You know, I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard. I myself have 13 vouchers. So I just need $3,000 to, you know, we could start a Ted Alba, get him a side card. But other than that, you know, I live like everybody else. I have to take care of my responsibilities and do what I got to do. So, yeah, once I get to $3,000, then I'll get my side card.
Yeah, now, so now I know, first of all, not everybody can be an actor. I mean, what you did was, as you just said, you're at the right place at the right time and all that. But say you're in Hollywood, and you're a biker, and or even just a person wanting to get in the industry. Is there any, like, sporting events, Laker games? Is there any nightclubs that somebody would should hang out to meet some of the people? Is there any advice you can give like that? I'm getting a lot of strange questions here, so I'm trying to go through these for you. Any suggestions on that?
You know, the Rainbow would be one in Hollywood.
Okay.
I've been there. I've met and seen some people. Saddle Ranch. I don't want to say, but you know, but well, I know I met Ron Starantino there. You know, for some food and drinks. So.
Yeah, I know Ron.
Yeah, good guy. I mean, you know. He's helped me. He's talked to me. He's really knowledgeable. I take my hat off to that guy anytime I can. But yeah, so you know what? You never know who you'll meet any place. So if somebody gives you an opportunity, take it, because you never know.
I want to tell you just a very short time. Do you remember the TV program called Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas and Branscombe Richmond?
Well, I know who Lorenzo Lamas is, but I don't recall.
Okay. I was just saying this because somebody said, I have long, long gray hair and a gray beard. And they said, Bill, why don't you go down? They're shooting in San Diego. I said, I'll ride my bike down there. I get there, and they said, well, we have plenty of extras, and right now we have at least 100 people before we even consider you. I said, okay. But since I was there, they said, we'll take your face shot and all that. They did all that. They were nice to me, you know, gave me the brush off. I got home. And by the time I got home, my home phone was ringing. Hey, man, are you the guy with the gray hair and the gray beard? Can you be on the set tomorrow morning? And I went, unbelievable, because I only went down just to feel it out, just to have some fun with it. I got, they always put me behind bars. I kept saying, I need to be up front, in front of Branscombe, in front of Lorenzo. No, Bill. We want you over here. You're the head of the prison gang, or you're behind this, or... Just, you know what, they never appreciated my true talents. They always kept saying I had the perfect face for radio. I'm not sure what they meant by that, but what the hell. So you're right.
Yeah.
I went down and I tried it and I had some fun with it. And that was the whole thing about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, if you want to say what I've been doing the longest, it'd be working for the railroad for 19 years. Never thought I knew I wasn't going to last forever, so I invested in myself with tools and equipment and stuff like that. And I went down to the railroad job up there in San Pedro, and really didn't like the way they talked to me, you know, the people in charge of that yard. And I got a phone call from Hangover 3, you know. You have been selected by the casting director and producers, you know, how does it feel? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, no, they usually just ask us to get bodies. But no, they asked for you and about 10 others. And I was like, really? So these guys offered me a job, Hangover. Guess what? I went to Hangover. You know what I'm saying? It's just the opportunity was there. And I met a lot of good people. A lot of people that I recognized on and off Facebook. That when you see them, you know, they've done way more stuff than I have. They've got their sags. They've been in the industry 10, 15, 20 years. And you know what? They treat me like I'm the star. Now, how good is that, right? And I don't consider myself a star or a celebrity. I just consider myself popular. Anybody that really knows me will tell you that. Mm-hmm. I consider myself popular.
We've only met once, twice, and we've been in the same event many places like that. You and I have just very quickly said, I'm going to introduce you, and we said hello.
Well, you know, you know why? See, here's what happens, Ted. A lot of times I have to go north, and Bill has to go south.
Yeah.
And it's very rare that we're together at the same run. So
every weekend there's so many events going on
right.
at the same time, so we split up a lot.
And between all the stuff that's going on up north and down south or east or west or whatever, I have to go different places.
Uh-huh.
So Bill kind of handles south of Orange County, and I kind of handle everything north of Orange County.
And Mexico.
Okay. Well, I know one time for a while I was tagging myself.
Yeah.
And, well, I had my password, so I could tag myself. And I just started being able to tag myself lately because I didn't have my password. But I hit about 4 or 5 events, like, in one day.
Yeah.
And I was exhausted.
Out.
You know what I'm saying? I was exhausted. Yeah. And I probably tired people out on Facebook, but I promised these people I'd be at their events.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you say you got to do it, you'll be there, you know. Now, if something happens, it happens, you know.
Ted, I've got some more people that email or text me, whatever the hell we're doing here. But I got a couple people live, too, and they're bold enough to want to talk to Ted. You want to answer a couple questions, Ted?
Sure. Heck, yeah.
So what's the first one? 909-206. Call, you're on the line with Ted Alva. Who you are, where you calling from, and speak to Ted. What's your question? Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
Tell us who you are, where you calling from, please.
Hello, 909?
Yeah, it's Ted.
I know, Ted. You're on two phones?
No, I'm on one.
Okay, yeah, we're trying to get 909-206.
Caller, you live?
Okay.
Okay, let's gonna put you back on hold. Let's get the other caller right here.
Yeah, nobody should be afraid to talk.
You're afraid? Ted's a nice guy.
This is 810?
810-824. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question for Ted Alva tonight? We don't get another shy one, do we? 810, go ahead, please.
Okay. Hello?
Ted, you're intimidated. Oh, did we give it? 810, is that you?
810.
I'm an 810.
Yeah, how are you?
Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Michigan?
Nice.
Okay. Did you have any questions?
Hi, Ted. How you doing? I'm on your page. This is Sally.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. So what's this new movie you're going to be in? I tuned in a little late.
Well, basically, I'm a good cop, bad cop. And it's called Incarnatus. It's kind of like Incarnation.
I can't wait to see it.
What's that?
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, well, we just started filming, and you know, once I know the producer's giving everybody little stuff to bite on, like anywhere else. So yeah, it'll be fun, it'll be exciting. There's a lot of stuff that we can't put out there, but it's gonna be fun.
Well, I didn't even realize I was in queue to talk to you. I was just listening, but it's great to hear from you, Ted.
Oh, thank you. Keep watching the show, and you never, never know. You got to follow your dreams. You
Absolutely.
Know, so, yeah, it's great being me, and I'm pretty sure it's great being you. You know, you got to find that.
Oh, it's too bad you couldn't come on our run this weekend. You and those 29-inch ape hangers.
You know, one day I'm going to have enough money not to ride over there, but to pay for the tickets when I get back.
There you
yeah.
go.
So if I get enough money to pay for all the tickets back, it's not the ride over there. It's the tickets that I get back when I come back. And then I'll show up. I do want to do one of those runs from California to me and my friend were talking about it now, to Florida. So you never know.
Well, we got some great runs going on here in Michigan. Taking care of the babies.
Yeah, just shoot some pictures, put them on my wall. I mean, you never know who's listening.
This is Philip. What's your event called, and where is it going to be? Go ahead and plug it.
It's a memorial event for a great guy named Greg Post, and he started a club called Santa's Kids, where he took care of children that were terminally ill or just needed things. And right now we have a little baby girl named Athena that just went through she's 2 years old and just had 4 organs transplanted recently. And we started taking care of this baby girl last June. Next weekend is not a benefit run. It's simply a run in memory of Greg because he passed away last March in 2012.
Uh-huh.
But we started a club where we're continuing his work called Mercy Riders.
Okay.
Well, that's great.
If you have anything else going, you can the number that I have, I'll call you and I'll give you an email address and you can send it to me, and I'll put you on a daily blog. Right now it's getting about 90,000 hits a day.
Oh, that's great.
Worldwide. So yeah, whatever your first name again was?
Sally.
Sally, okay.
Sally from Michigan, okay.
I'm actually on your regular Facebook page, Ted.
Okay.
I'm Sally Zahowski. It's hard to pronounce, but
okay.
I'm there.
I'll look for you, Sally.
Okay.
All right, I'm not trying to tie up time, but...
No, this is
your show, our show. If you're a friend of Ted's, you get the mic, you get everything.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, what we'll do is, I'll call you probably tomorrow or Friday, and I'll give you an email address, and you can send me any flyers or anything, and I'll put them on the blog for you.
Sounds great. That's amazing. That
Sally,
is.
Sally, have you met Ted?
I can't even.
Sally, have you met Ted
in person
yet?
No, I did the online interview before the radio show thing started.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking about coming to Michigan, and he was trying to explain to me why it was illegal for him to ride his bike through, like, 3 or 4 states.
Right.
And then he asked me if I'd seen his handlebars. So I went onto his Facebook page, and then I asked my husband. He's like, honey, they're illegal in Michigan.
They're illegal
and
in California, too.
And after that, we became friends.
Yeah. Yeah, they're illegal in California, too.
Sal, you're doing a pretty good job. Let me give you the job as interviewer. Ask him some pertinent questions, something you want to know about Ted.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole show
now,
Sal.
Me on
go
the
ahead.
Spot.
Oh, you got it. It's all you.
Well, I am really interested in his charity work. I mean, I love the work he does on Sons of Anarchy. I heard you talk about how you can't have speaking roles yet because you don't have a SAG card. But
yeah.
how, without giving away any secrets, how's this season shaping up?
You know, I myself haven't been on set, but I talked to a lot of different people, and they say, brace yourself.
That's cool. I met the guy that plays Bobby last weekend at the Easy Rider Rodeo in Fowlerville.
Great
he
guy.
He wasn't giving away any secrets either. Oh, my God.
Well,
I would have loved him even if he wasn't on TV.
Well,
he is so personable. Oh, my God. He is so personable, so fun. It was so... I was a little upset that Ryan Hurst was ill and couldn't make it. He was the featured guy to be there. The guy that plays Bobby filled in. But he was so much fun. We didn't miss out on anything.
Yeah, you know what? Great guy. Great, great guy. I mean,
beautiful man.
Yeah. And he was with us when we rode down from the set to our different off-ramps, our different destinations. And I think he just shook his head as he looked to the side and saw me. He's like, wow. And, you know, you got to ride with me. And that's one thing. You got to ride with me. And I'll ride with you. I'll ride with anybody. Front, back, on the side, it don't matter. I like to ride. And it's a good time. Getting there and coming home.
Oh, I hear you. Last weekend was incredible.
Well, I'll give you a little tidbit that I received via Sutter. In the latest Sons of Anarchy season 6 spoilers revealed by the series creator, the show's ending will have two opposing elements. And this was an August 13th report. He shared that the final two seasons will not leave with a happy ending. Instead, it would be a sad, but we'll have hope by the end of it all.
Well, that's kind of understandable.
Season 6 and 7 are entering the end game.
It's winding down. We know that, boys and girls. Yeah. Now, here's something exciting. Now, everybody, hang on to your socks. Tell me the next line there, brother.
Which one?
Obi.
Oh, no. I can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Can't do that. Sorry about that.
We all miss him.
Yeah, I can't go any further than what I just did.
Yeah, okay. There's some things that they will not allow us to put on the air because they want everybody to enjoy the shows and all that. So we can only give you so much pertinent information. Anything other than that, they simply want us to clam up. Let everybody appreciate the show when it comes up. So we're sorry we can't.
What's going to happen with this show that we're doing tonight on Wednesdays, we have another two shows that we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but on Wednesdays, it's going to be the Sam Crow Radio Show. What happens is, you guys watch the show on Tuesday, we'll have a guest from the show, or that's been on the show. The very next day. And you'll be able to answer questions or ask questions or whatever, or comments, however it goes for you. And then we'll go from there. But the show premieres on the 10th. And on September 11th will be Sam Crow Radio, but we're doing it all the way through until then, until the show ends, and probably after the show ends.
And like what Sally's doing tonight, talking to Ted, he's talking about what he's doing and all that. Our guests can call and talk to any, ask him any questions our guests want.
Right.
So we're going to, except about the show's future, which again, we're restricted, we can't talk about it, and the guests on the show will also be prohibited. But you can ask questions like you're asking.
They can talk about what's
right.
They can. I understand they can talk about what's already happened.
Exactly.
Not anything. So in other words, if you watch Tuesday's show, you can call up and ask questions Tuesday's show, but you can't ask about the next week's Tuesday show.
If you got all those rules and all that, you know.
Yeah, everybody signs disclosures.
Right.
Any set, you sign a disclosure.
Right.
Well, nobody wants the show spoiled.
Right.
No.
Nobody really wants to know ahead of time what's going on.
Oh yeah, but that makes it
that
great
was
for
even
everybody.
Worse.
Though.
We know what's ahead of time. We can't tell nobody.
We can't
it's
tell
terrible.
Nobody.
It's terrible.
Exactly.
People ask me, I can't tell you. It's crazy stuff with that too.
Well, I understand. I'm just thinking that you know they say that one of the things he's following is like the Hamlet play.
Yeah.
And I had to study that for college. So it's understandable the point that it ends tragically, because the play ends tragically.
Right.
So that's not really giving anything away to just say that, because if it is truly kind of following a Hamlet-type role, there's no other way to do it than for it to end tragically.
Right. Well, this world is not perfect, and we've all dealt with tragedy. Had to get through tragedy. There's no way of avoiding tragedy. So in our lifetime, it's not always perfect. We have health issues. We have friends that have health issues. We have friends that are dying and dead. So not everything is perfect. And not everything has to be just, oh, hey, everything is roses and all that. And I had a flat tire on my bike the other day. I owned a goddamn motorcycle shop. I had a flat tire. If I can say this.
Hey, we just lost a brother tragically, so I understand that.
Yeah.
He got cut off, spun through the air, hit a sign. Things were ugly. We lost him tragically.
Yeah, we had a guy
so,
we
yeah.
knew. we had a guy we know, a truck pulled over in the carpool lane, in the fast lane, change a tire during rush hour.
Wow.
Yeah, and clipped this guy.
You know, I was coming back from San Diego, and I ran across an L.A. club, and they were kind of lost and confused. I said, just follow me. I'll take you back. We're leaving Mexico. I'll take you back up the back way because traffic is bad. But we were just going right through, no traffic, no muss, no fuss. We were redlining and lane sharing, and I went through, and the BMW was upset. Second guy, he actually moved his BMW closer. The third guy through, he about had with us going through the lane sharing. He pulled his damn brand new BMW and took out this guy, knocked him into another car. The car had two more cars. We were all scattered over the freeway. So the point is that there is no guarantees. You don't let something be undone. I went through smooth. The club guy behind me went through smooth. The third guy, what a mess it was. And then bikes behind him were all smashed up. And you slip in your bathtub. There is no guarantee. What Ted's doing in his life, he's taking the best he can with it. He's taking it to new heights, new experiences. He's going to stay with the brain company all his life and retire, but he got some new challenges. That's what I think is important about getting the message from Ted today is be aware, be open for new challenges. Ted, how do you comment on that, if you would?
Me? Yeah. You know, and like I say, I mean, some people don't ever wake up. I mean, yeah, it's too short. Have fun. Do what you want to do as long as you're not hurting other people.
But exactly.
That would be the best way to put it.
Well, if you don't have any more questions, I'm gonna mute you and you can stay on the line as long
as you want. You don't push Sally off the air.
Well,
cool. Sally, he's getting pushy. Is there another question you want to ask Ted?
I'm good. I'll give other people a shot. I'll listen for a while.
Okay.
Sally, thank you very much for calling in, and glad you got a chance to talk to Ted. Is this the first time you spoke to Ted in person?
Yes. Last
time, good.
On the Crow Eater page.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your questions, and you have a good night, doll.
You too.
Oh,
good to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I hear what's going on back
first
here.
First it was
selling,
now it's
dull. Yeah, he didn't miss that part about our husband's probably standing right behind us, 6'8", you know.
Oh, I know he's right there. It's okay.
All right. Good night, Sally.
Good night, Sally. Thank you for calling in.
Good night.
This should be Miriam right here. Is that you, Miriam?
858.
Before anybody said Nora, right after Miriam, I'll bring you back on.
858, are you out there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys?
I'm great.
Hi, Ted.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited to speak with you guys, and I love Bill and Phil and have been fans of theirs for I won't tell you how long.
Okay.
You got me all kinds of... Got me all kinds of curious, though. How many inches are those apes on your bike?
Oh, 29.
Aha, uh-huh, that explains it.
Yeah.
What is the legal for ape hangers?
In California, they're 6 inches above from your shoulder to your grip. They can be no taller than 6 inches. And give Arnold credit for that one.
Yeah, I noticed that. And is that comfortable for you to ride them with them?
Yes. When I made my, because I make the handlebars, I had my sons measure them. Since I make them, I had them measure them to the way I wanted to be and the width and the height and the turnout. And that's where I wanted them. And I'm comfortable. I'll ride with one finger, no hands, both hands. When you see me riding with one hand, it's because I know nobody's around me and it's going to come up and clip me from behind. Or I'm going down the street, no hands, with one finger, just in my mirror, like you see on my Facebook.
Uh-huh.
It's comfortable. Everybody should own a bike at least once.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You know, and then ride.
What do you
and then
ride?
We should have less accidents on the freeway because they would understand what we go through.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And also, just I do not ride my own bike. I ride two up. But nonetheless, I went through the safety class as a passenger just because I felt that that was a really important thing that everybody should do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that I got my two sons, my oldest son's bikes, one when he was 17 and a half, the other one when he was 19 and a half, and they wouldn't be able to be put on my insurance until they took the course.
Yeah.
And they ride good. They're good riders. They even tell you how to crash, you know, but yeah, it's a good thing.
I think it's very important. Like, I had a friend, we were out riding the other day, and it was kind of like the domino effect where, you know, somebody got cut off, and then they were riding in a scatter formation, and she ended up just dropping her bike, but she did it really well, was able to pick it up herself. And I think that, you know, especially for women riders out there, it's really important to not, you know, not have to depend on somebody else to help you lift your bike if you have to drop it.
Yeah, you know, and like, I've dropped my bike, and I was like, I don't know if you ever heard this, where you're just driving, stopping, nothing, and you just forget to put your feet down.
Oh, I've heard of that, yes.
Without alcohol, that was me.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like, da-da-da-da, and then it fell over, and I was like, what the heck? And you know what? And it's just like that, what are they, that Lou Ferrigno, that Incredible Hulk, where when you're in a situation, like, you just, I picked it up like nothing. Everybody's like, how'd you do that? I'm like, how'd I do what? And they're like, you picked the bike. I'm like, you just, and then I thought about it once I took off. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't take no, you know.
Yeah, it's the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, and it worked.
Very cool.
So, yeah, you know,
so,
I.
What do you ride? Are you on a Harley and what
model?
Oh,
yeah, 98 Springer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and before that I had a 05 Road King and a 97 Heritage Softail. All big bikes. Even my kids, when I got them bikes, I got them big bikes because I didn't want to get them a little bike and then outgrow it and then have to buy them another bike and have that one sitting and trying to sell it.
Yeah, that's smart.
So I just went out and got them big bikes. They were little kids. Well, they're not little, but... you know, young, and they all had big bikes. Everybody wanted to be my son in the neighborhood after that.
Hey, what about the girls? Nobody wants to be your daughter? I mean, what's up with that?
I you know what? I got two daughters. I love them, and no more.
And they're into riding or riding on the back or what?
They ride with dad when there's something going on. Yeah, they ride with me. Ride to the set with me if possible, or just down the store, down the street, or to a little show. I put my girls on my bike. Yeah.
Well, that kind of leads up to another question that I have, because my old man is, you know, he's got the attitude of he's the man and I'm the submissive woman, and it's like, especially when you're out and you're riding and everything. Do you think majority of the philosophy these days, even though, you know, it's 21st century, whatever, but it's still got that old school mentality when you're out riding, even if you're riding your own bike, the women are not really involved in the conversation?
You know what? Not really, because I have female friends that they want to hang out with the guys. Not to mess around with them, but they want to hang out with the guys. And, you know, I mean, I was riding with this girl. She's probably over her 50s, but she's this tiny little thing, and I'm like, let me ride with them, and I let her take the lead, and these other people were in the lead. A car pulls up with a almost sandwiches, and what is she doing? You would think she would get out of the way. She's kicking both cars. I told her.
Oh, right.
After we got off the freeway, I said, are you crazy? She's like, I'm like, no. We're never gonna win if a car hits us.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out of the way. But no, she's there kicking the car. And she's this little thing, this little dainty thing. And she's tough as nails.
That's
but,
great.
And you know, I have my female friends. They ride the Sportsters. They ride the Metrics. There's some on crotch rockets. You know what I mean? It all depends on what you want and what you'll take and what you'll tolerate.
So,
I mean,
it, That girl's name that was kicking the car, that didn't have to be Melody, did it? No.
That was, her name is Dee Dee. She lives down the street from me.
That's funny.
She lives down the street from me. No, Melody, we were going to go on another TV set. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you better get over here and save me because I'm going to pull out my mace. I'm like, wait a minute, let me go down there. She's like, what kind of neighbor you live in? I'm like, a dangerous one. You got to be tough out here. But, yeah, you know.
No, Mel's a good lady.
Yeah, she is. She's cool. I've got her involved in the thing for Spike TV,
right.
And then we went to the Let It Show Shine. They asked for her to do this Spanish one in Spanish, and she doesn't speak Spanish. But I'm like, let's go. And we did the one in English, and it was great. I mean, you know, Melody's great. We've always seen each other. The same thing. Past Vegas run, a Palm Springs run,
mm-hmm.
Laughlin run. We always pass each other. Just like, that's how I meet them. And they're like, hey, well, you know, check this out. And, you know, I'm that guy.
Are you going to Vegas this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got my rooms.
Okay.
I got my rooms
too.
And the rooms that people say, just in case something happens, you just stay with us. I'm like, great. If I can't make it to one room, I'll make it to the other.
Yeah, we'll be there, too. You can come and hang with us, too.
Right on. You got to look for me at Hogs and Heifers.
Okay.
That's
what night are you
going
to be there? Every night or?
Saturday night.
Friday, Saturday.
Hogs and Heifers.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Okay.
If I get to go for Thursday, then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's where, you know, I'll get my drink and then I'll feel good and I'll go for a walk down the experience and then I'll come back. But I'm always at Hogs and Heifers. Can't miss my bike. You always put it in the VIP parking for me.
Okay. Cool.
So
I'll be looking for it. Well, I don't want to take up too much time, but before I let you go, one of the things that I did want to ask you about was obviously you have your own personal charities, and Bill and Phil are well-versed in my own personal charity, and as soon as I heard that they were going to have you on and everything, I was like, oh my God, I have to talk to him about Ride for Kids. And I don't know if this is an okay time or not, but we've been doing this ride. It's for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
Uh-huh.
We take kids with brain tumors on a motorcycle ride. My son David actually has a brain tumor, and I recruit guys with sidecars and trikes and spiders, and you know, if your bike was legal, I'd offer you to be, we call them VIP escorts, because they take siblings and parents. But my biggest struggle is getting San Diego on the map. And I know that, you know, some of the dealerships here have been able to get in touch. Like I know Mike from Sons of Anarchy, or what's his last name, Olansky?
Yeah.
He was at Biggs. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to meet him. And then I know San Diego Harley, New York Mike had some of the guys from the Deadliest Catch. And I just wanted to know, how does somebody with a, you know, a charity for a kid get somebody to come and donate an hour of time?
Okay, where are you guys at? San Diego?
We're in San Diego. Our ride's in San Diego.
When is your ride?
It's September 22nd. It's coming up here in about a month, exactly.
Okay. Are you on Facebook?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
What I'll do, Ted, if it's okay, is I'll give you Miriam's number off the air.
Okay.
And you can ring her up.
Yeah. Or you could grab it, because I mean I got. A wallet
no
for people's phone numbers and stuff, but make sure that you get with me, and you could give her my that cell phone number, the 909, and then you could call me, and then I can make sure that I pencil it in, and then I'll roll out there.
Seriously?
And then depending on where it is, and I can't guarantee, but if my buddy's listening, one of my best brothers in the world, Aldo Gonzalez, maybe I could get him to go with me.
Oh my God! I mean,
if he's
You have
you
no idea what these events like what these kids, I mean, we all know what it's like to ride, but these are kids that, you know, are have brain cancer, and they look forward to these rides once a year just to get out and get in the wind like the rest of us need our therapy. That's what they do. So, and that's been my big struggle. And, you know, Phil and Phil know, man, that I've been trying for years here in San Diego to get the word out and get on the map. So any support, you'll see a picture of me and my son, and anything. I mean, even if you didn't do the whole ride and just came and hung out for an hour just to let people shake your hands and, you know, talk to you for a second, anything would be appreciated.
No, I like the rides, and I mean, like I say, I don't have to be in front, or as long as I ride, and I you know, that'd be good.
Okay. Well, God bless you, man. I appreciate it more than you.
No problem.
More than you can imagine, and we do love the show, and I like the strong women especially.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's how I raise my daughters.
Yeah.
Tough, you know.
That's how I am. All right.
That's
well, good. I'm gonna let you go. I've been monopolizing enough time here. So I'll friend you. Thanks again, you guys, Bill and Phil. God bless you.
No worries. Send me those emails.
All right, you got it.
Okay, you have a good night. Thank you.
All right, you guys too. Love you both.
Bye bye.
All right, bye bye.
Are you there?
Yeah, are you buying an air compressor?
Yeah, I'm can you hear
it? Okay, because it's reverbing real bad.
Okay. All right, how about now? Is it all right? Does it have the... Yeah, go ahead. Are you there?
It's still coming into it.
There you go.
Call us 708. Okay. Tell us where you're calling from, please, and what's your question for today for Ted Alva?
Hi, Ted. This is Nora. I'm from Chicago. And what I'd like to ask is, how did you feel when you were first approached to go on to Sons of Anarchy?
Well, what I did is I was given a number to call somebody. Didn't know who I was going to call, and basically follow his instructions on how to get on a website. And so I had no idea that, you know, I had waited a season or two just trying to find out to get on, to even to for somebody maybe that could help me get on. And they called me and said, "Is your name Ted Alva?" "Yeah." "Do you have these bike with the handlebars?" I'm like, "Yeah." "How would you like to be on Sons of Anarchy?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And it was just like, I was shocked. I'm like, "Heck yeah. You know what? Give me your number. Give me a second number in case I lose the call." And he's like, "No, don't worry. I'll call you." So I was excited. And how I did it was just, I just wanted it. Never had seen the show, but I wanted it. And I know if somebody could see me, my bike, they would put me on there. And yeah, it was a blessing. Somebody did.
That's just amazing. So now, do you have, what are your future aspects
endeavors
in regards to TV? Thank you.
Movies? Well, okay, since then, I did Hangover 3, which I ended up on the editing table floor. Still, I was on there, saw a lot of good people, met more people, was in the Robot Combat League, same thing. I met a lot of George Lucas's daughter, Chris Jericho, and a lot of good people. The girl from that has her own TV, the Let It Shine show. So everything can turn out better than what you already have. So so I would say that, you know, I don't turn nothing down. No opportunity that's in good taste, that's going
to
that's going to help somebody out, I'll always support them, people. But, you know, I've done, I'm doing this new movie. I've done the Spike TV thing. So everything is it's rolling slowly, and it's a good pace.
But you're falling in the place. You're falling in the places where you want to be. And I'm sure you have a good, strong family to back you and stand behind you and appreciate what you're doing.
Yes, and you got to have somebody strong, male, female, you know, sons, daughters, moms, somebody, because as somebody said, hey, I'm union now, I got my actor's card, and somebody said, welcome to the world of unemployment. So I never knew what that meant until now. And you gotta go for what you want. You gotta get those jobs. You have to make an effort and to be out there. Me, I don't. I mean, I know people that have 20, 30 years doing entertainment and show business, and you know, I go for those to those people for questions and answers. That even if I might have a doubt, they're people that I could know that giving me the right answer.
Right,
and they're not. You know, they're not gonna be jealous, because they're way above where I'm at right now.
Right. Now, did you go through acting or anything?
Never have. I think my acting was in class. my acting was.
So you must have been a class clown.
I was a class clown. Yes, I was, to a point.
Right.
But you know, I grew up in Los Angeles. You know, Whittier, tough neighborhoods, all that good stuff. What I can actually say is, like, that me, you know, no drugs, no hitting on women. That's been my dad's motto, and he instilled it to me. And that's what I instill in my kids. And I'm a pretty good guy, I think.
Well, I'm sure you are, and you're very humble. And
thank you.
How far you've come, and something to achieve that you didn't grow up, you know, to go into acting school or any kind of drama classes in school or anything like that. You've come a long way, and that's a great part of what you've done with your life.
Yeah,
and you're still going.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but like the people told me that, and the thing that we're doing now, I'm the lead actor, and these other people that I take my hat off, because they got way more experience. One person has been doing it for 15 years and getting paid top, but she's right with me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm like, hey, well, you know, I'll go ask her questions, like anything. I mean, and I'll throw his name out there, MC Pancho, Emilio Rivera, Aldo Gonzalez. These guys will sit there and answer your question. And they will be honest and upfront. And they'll tell you, never quit. Keep going. It's experience. It's on-the-job training. And so I call to these people. You know, they're my friends. And what more can you say, right?
Exactly. And they will be a part of your family as time goes. So whoever you have worked with to this point, slowly your family is growing bigger.
Oh, yes.
You're very blessed. But thank you for answering the questions. And it was amazing to speak with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure.
Ed Bill Kennedy, about your handlebars. Not everybody can ride your handlebars. Some people have injuries to their wrist or elbow, to their shoulders. And I always tell people, Don't buy a pair of handlebars because you see them in a magazine. You've got to try to fit the cycle. You've got to experiment it. But I worry about people, again, that maybe have a bad shoulder trying to get your handlebars. For some people, they can't ride handlebars higher than their shoulder. Some people need their wrist turn in. Some people need their wrist turn out. At Kennedy's Custom
exactly.
Cycles, we talk Kennedy triangle. The right handlebars, the right seat, and the right foot pegs. That triangle is critical. Now, your handlebars fit you because you definitely have good shoulders and all that. But people have had little injuries and all that. Ted's handlebars are for Ted. You've got to find out what's right for you. Do you agree on that, Ted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like I say, you know, people will call me up because I do fabricate handlebars and custom mild to wild or to just, you know, some apes. But what I do emphasize is whether it be me or somebody else, have them made for you and the bike. Because, you know, you'll get people to say, well, I want 16s. And then, but they come and they look at their handlebars and they look at mine. They're like, those are not 16s. No, those are 16s. Mine are 29s. Big difference. But you want to, what I do is I'll get the person that has the bike and I'll fit them. I'm like, okay, put your hands up where you want to be and to see it. You know, and
Ted, talk about the importance of the end of the handlebars, the angle where you put the throttle on and you put the grips on. Tell about the importance of putting the angle into that. So, for example,
yeah,
the angle.
A lot of people will, and this is the important part. A lot of people will buy a set of handlebars, or even get used to a set of handlebars, and they'll shake their wrist. You see them 5 minutes down the road, they shake the wrist. Why? Because that angle on the wrist is not letting the blood flow to and from your wrist. Just like a water hose, if you were to pinch a water hose, it's going to shoot out, and that back pressure is going to hurt after a while. So you have to, you know, and another reason is if you squeeze too hard, if you're scared, let go, relax, and grab it and enjoy the ride. But that's where your shoulder, you know, if you're at a discomfort, 10 minutes down the road, you're going to be an uncomfortable place within your body, and you're really not going to enjoy the ride. So make sure they fit. The turnout is important for your control and for that blood flow. I'll ride all the way to Vegas.
About. Yeah, we have a lot of people come to my motorcycle shop, and they're riding a motorcycle. I said, how long have you had the bike? Oh, I have about a year now. I said, are those the handlebars that came when you bought the bike? Yeah. Are they comfortable? I guess so. No, man, you're acclimated to it. That's the wrong. I can look from here and see that's the wrong angle for you. I'm glad you talked about that. Few people realize it, and they put up with pain. Ted, start telling everybody you have to be in pain. Right handlebars, right seat, and right foot pegs. Kennedy triangle, ride the bike. What are you thinking, Ted?
Yeah. You know, and like I say, the thing is, and that's what I do. When you'll see me when I do a set of handlebars, it's to the rider, to the bike. That rider with height, you know what I mean? I don't want a guy stretching and it's not comfortable. He's going to wreck.
Right.
You know what I mean? He won't be able to control his bike. So I tell the person, you know, pick up your hands. And then I do it a cycle until they go to where they need to be within his body. And I say, how about this? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's real good. You don't have to get used to them. That's where you want to be. That's where your body's telling you. Because our shoulders, everybody's broad shoulders, narrow. Our torsos, they're all different. Everybody's back is different. And, yeah, you got to enjoy the ride. That's the main thing about enjoying a ride is enjoying the bike, feel good, look around, be aware, safety conscious, but have fun.
Damn, everything you're saying I agree with. I have so many customers come in here, and afterwards we revamp or change, and they go, Bill, the pain's gone. Now, we go to Puerto Penasco, it's right in Mexico, Rocky Point in English, miles from my house.
Uh-huh.
But kids, late 20s, early 30s, and about mile 300, Ted, they're in pain. They got the cool-looking handlebars, but it doesn't fit their injuries. Injuries from playing high school football, doing construction work, who knows what injuries they've done. 300 miles into it, and they go, Bill, can we pull over? I say, we're in the middle of Sonora Desert. you see a 7-Eleven, you see any a gas station, anything, Mexican desert, buddy. Long way to go. Wouldn't listen to what you're saying right now. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say to you, you're talking about going to Daytona. Well, I'm telling you, driving across country, I usually get away with the crap of, well, I'm from California and I'm passing through the area. That does not work for me in Daytona. Those people are ticket crazy.
Yeah.
Again, I'll be in other states, and, well, that's illegal in this state. Well, I'm on my way to Sturgis, I'm on my way to Daytona, and I'm just traveling through, and okay, well, just keep going. I get in Daytona. Bam, they don't give a damn. It's illegal. They don't care what plate you got on. So if you think about going to Daytona, Ted,
I probably trailered in from the state line or something. Because, you know, like I say, it's not so much getting there and riding. It's the tickets I'll have to pay when I get back. You know, we're going to have to start a handlebar fund for me or something. But, yeah, you know what I mean?
Keep Ted out of jail. Send a dollar, please.
Yeah. last year when we went to Yuma,
yeah.
I got a ticket.
Oh, you'll love this one.
I got a ticket from Homeland Security.
Can you believe that bullshit?
You know what? Not this year, but the year before, Laughlin, I got pulled over twice doing that last turn to when you're coming off the boulevard to go to Oatman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pulled over there, and he said he's going to give me a ticket, this and that, and I was cordial. I always am. Then he called he said he was going to let me go, but I'd have to sign a warning. And so the girl's like, oh, you want his autograph? And I'm like, shh, you got to be quiet. Let this guy do his job, you know, because he could take me away. He can probably just impound my bike just because he can. And so he called another backup, and he's like, no, I didn't call him to hassle you. I called him because I wanted him to see your handlebars. And then we started talking, and guess what? Then the girl's like, yeah, he's on Sons of Anarchy. And next thing you know, my friends are waiting up the hill with binoculars looking at me, and they're like, damn, he's signing autographs or taking pictures. I mean, I'm like, yeah, you know, and I got away. I, you know what I mean? Handlebars.
Yeah.
You know, let me go.
You know,
so,
Ted, every time I've been to Laughlin, I've been just hassled. The last time I left Oatman, they got me to the bottom of the hill, and they said to me, good afternoon, sir. Please stop. And they said, have you had more than one drink at lunch? And I said, no, I don't drink at all. He said, okay, go ahead. Let the guy right behind me, a friend of mine, said the same question. Afternoon, sir. Have you had more than one beer? He said, no, sir. I only had one beer at lunch. And he said, you're under arrest by your own admission. We have a zero alcohol tolerance in Oatman. When I go to Vegas, I never, ever, ever get stopped. But Laughlin, I get stopped. I can't tell you how many times I get stopped. It's just, I guess, my bad karma. They stopped me 1 mile from Laughlin going in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and I've been fortunate. You know what I mean? I've been fortunate because my handlebars are legal everywhere, even California. But I attribute it to the attitude.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You're nice with them.
No, Ted, I got to say
let me interject here.
Yeah.
Ted, if you got pulled over numerous times during a year, and I'm going to go back 4 years now. The first year was 72 contact cards made out. The next year was 62 contact cards made out. Last year was 59. We're at August 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
21st. And I have 49, so I think I'm going to break my own record.
Yeah, this is Bill Kennedy talking. I got to tell you, my theory is you get lit up. I pull the bike over. I shut my bike off.
Yeah.
In the case of the cop, he's worried about walking up to my bike and me taking off.
Yeah.
My hands on the grips. Wallet, I don't reach for anything. The policeman or woman walks up. I don't say good afternoon. I say, what the hell you stopped me for? Nothing. They will ask me a question if they wish for my driver's license and all that.
Well, they don't. They don't do that to me. They get out with a
different story.
They get out with a gun and
they
take off your helmet.
When we're done, I say to them, "Here to go," and I take off. I don't say to them, "Gee, how you doing?" It's not my buddy. They know. I don't say, "What the F you stopped me for?" I'm not adversarial against the police. I'm to minimize my stops. One word answers, and like I always tell everybody, just shut up. Don't shoot yourself in the foot and give the policeman additional information you don't need to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, can you say,
well, you know how, I mean, since I was young, I've always been pulled over, motorcycle,
huh?
Car, hot rod, whatever, lowrider, you know, by the cops and beat up a couple of times. So I already know they're not there to help me unless I call them. You know what I mean? And I don't do that either. So what I do is a lot of them have this authority figure problem. Not all of them, but there's some of them.
Right.
And so you just got to, yes or no, sir. Do you know your handlebars are legal? And yes, they are. Where are they legal? 99 counties. They're legal everywhere. And then they're like, well, why you have them? I'm like, well, because I make them and I ride what I make and this and that. Would you like me to reach in my pocket? I'll give you my card. And I give them my card. You know, and I said, you know, and I know choir boys. I've done their handlebars too. I've done different people's handlebars. You know what I mean? And they let me go. I don't give them any resistance. You know, answer their question. Got my ID where they can see it. I got, you know, my documents, insurance, everything right there where I don't have to dig for it. And
Joe, shut your bike off right away when you get lit up. You leave your bike running, Ted.
I turn it off.
That's a good sign. Makes them feel comfortable. Now they don't have to, if you try to take off.
Yeah.
You know, if you got the bike shut off, they feel a little less threatened. And I think you would say it's a very important thing. You stop by a police officer. The first 30 to 45 seconds, this situation, this scenario is going to grow. One or two situations are going to happen. You can make it a lot tougher for yourself. You can make it a lot easier for yourself. You've got to find out what's the right thing to do. One of you has to be in command. I try to be the one with the knowledge, the education. Without making an officer look embarrassing, I have the answers before you even ask the questions.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you know why we go to Vegas, and you know why Hogs and Heifers is there, and I come out of there silly.
Yeah.
They surround me with their bicycles, and where are you coming from? My hotel. Okay. You know what I mean? I mean, just got into town. I mean, all right, get out of here. You know what I mean?
You know Michelle who owns Hogs and Heifers?
What's that?
Have you met Michelle who owns Hogs and Heifers?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I met her.
She rides pretty damn well, too, by the way.
Yeah, she's a blonde.
Yeah.
Right? She's a little blonde.
Yeah. Yeah, she rides her bike. She's in San Diego. She rides out to Vegas. She's good people. She rides well.
Yeah. Yeah, they always treat me good at Hogs and Heifers.
Because the place is just put back, and you can't get in. You go tell them to see Michelle, and we'll get you in the door. I said, thank you very much. And sometimes the lines are just too long, you know?
Yeah.
So
no, you know, I get there, and it could be day, noon, night. You know, it's packed. I pull in. The ball guy, he says, come on in. And my friends are like, we want to park with him. No, you park outside. He can park in. And they treat me good, and so I get my parking. All right, cool. Give him a high five. Give him a hug. All right. I walk in. The security guards, they just come on in, you know. You know, they're like, he's good, you know. And so, you know, those are the places you want to hang out, the places that they treat you good.
And you want to reciprocate that.
If it's early enough, I walk there, the girl gets the microphone, here he is, the guy with that poncho, and I know what to do. I take my poncho off, I give it to her, she jumps around she's either serving for about 15, 20 minutes, or she jumps on top of the stage and does a dance and then hands me a beer or a shot. I get my poncho and I smile. I give her a hug and start drinking. How good is that?
We
right?
got a question here from one of our. Let me see. I'll just tell you how it is. I hope this is from a lovely lady. So what's underneath your poncho? Now I'm just repeating the question to you, Ted. So don't get me in trouble here. One of our calls wants to know. So what does he wear underneath the poncho? Ted, you go anywhere you want with that question, okay?
Yeah. Well, basically, it's all me. I mean, I wear my feelings. I wear my armor, whatever you want to call it. It's all me. I'm a different person for every different situation. So when I wear the poncho, it's me. I've ever since I got it, I've worn it. When I ride, I have it on. So that's me. That tells everybody that seen me that, oh, that's Ted. We know what he's about, you know. Mm. And that's it. It's all me.
The, what I was going to say was, the last time that I saw you, I think it was at Cook's a couple months ago. And then my schedule changed at work, so I've been hit to which runs I go to. But that run that Miriam was talking about is a pretty cool run. And just the excitement of the kids, like you were at the Down Syndrome ride, if you remember when, Emilio was getting ready to leave, and he got stormed by about 20 little kids, and they all ended up taking pictures.
Oh. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And like Miriam said, these kids, sometimes they don't get to ride on the back or even be around the motorcycle. So it works out pretty good for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, Ted, handlebars are high enough. Maybe we just bungee cord some kids
in the handlebars. Yeah.
There we go.
Well,
the hell,
if you look at some of my pictures where it was funny because we were going to meet these people down here in Ontario. And so we went into a liquor store and this cute little kid with his mom came out of another store and said, "Oh snap!" Right, and I laughed because the little kid was like, he was excited, you know,
mm-hmm.
And he told his mom, you know, and I'm like, you know what, put him on the seat, stand up, take a picture of his handlebars, as long as I can take a picture, I'm gonna put it on my Facebook, and she's like, really, and the little kid was like. He couldn't stop smiling. And I'll tell you another thing. He couldn't stop smiling. And the little kid from CK Cisco, he's a photographer. He was down in San Diego on that Rasa ride. He put his kid up there. You know what I mean? The kid loved it. Stand on my seat. I don't care. Reach for those handlebars and take that picture. I mean, that's what it's for. You know what I mean? It's for enjoyment, mine and everybody else's. And, you know, I like when the kids jump on it, you know, and take the pictures. You're not going to hurt it. You know what I mean? Turn the key, hit the switch. Yeah, then you hurt yourself. But other than that, you know,
That's what it's all about. It's about bringing joy to the little. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, we're on set.
My uncle took me to an amusement park. Some guy pulled in on a Harley. He had, of course, back in the 70s, 60s, 50s, I don't know how it was. Anyway, he had slick back hair, and he had his jeans rolled up and engineer boots, but on the back of his leather jacket, he had
Bondi
studs, Lone Wolf. And my uncle kept trying to drag me, let's go to the amusement park. I said, man, I just couldn't stop looking at that motorcycle and that guy. And people say about that, well, Bill, you're only in the fourth grade. I don't give a damn what grade I was in. I knew for a fact when I saw that motorcycle, and I saw the Lone Wolf, he had the wolf's head on the back and all that, slick back hair, and I went, that's it. I knew in the fourth grade that's how impressed I was. And the kids know these things. We don't think kids remember them. Bullshit. Kids remember this stuff here. I got clear pictures of that.
You guys, if you guys been all over my Facebook, you'll see season four. Trejo, Danny Trejo.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting down in the casting chairs. Everybody else is, you know, the cast chairs. Danny Trejo walks beside me, looks at me up and down. I look at him up and down. And we're on set. You know, he gave me that homeboy look. I look at him. He looks at me. He sits right beside me. He tells the girl, mic check. Picks up his sock. Mics his check. And he looks at me, and he said, is that your effing bike? Well, you know, I can, like I say, I adjust to every situation that I'm put in. So I'm thinking, okay, this guy just asked me if this is my effing bike. So what do I respond? Yeah, it's my effing bike. He goes, can I go look at it? Right? Can I go look at it? I'm going, yeah, you can sit on it. He goes, can I? I go, yeah. And he gave me that, can I look? And I'm like, yeah. So we walk out. Everybody walks behind us. And he's like, can I sit on it? I go, go ahead, man. It's not locked. Drive it if you want. He's like, oh, no. I go, ride it. And so he gets on his bike. I go, can I take a picture of you on my bike? He's like, hell yeah. So I said, okay, ready? He's like, yeah. I go, stop smiling. He says, I can't, man. I said, no, give me a hard look. I want to put you. He's like, he goes, you know what, dude, on this bike, I cannot give you a hard look.
There you go.
I cannot. I said, you know what? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking avid biker, actor, movie star, done dozens of everything, and he can't have a straight face on my bike. That's what it is when you take a picture on my bike, because you're like, wow. And you know what I mean? It's just a bike. But just what I did to it, the handlebars, people love. And like I say, I welcome everybody. Get on my bike, take a picture. I don't care. It's right there. You're not going to hurt it. Take a picture. I'll be back going to have me a beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And if you're in the neighborhood and you come down to Oceanside, I'll send you, probably not tonight, probably tomorrow, but I'll send you my phone number, and I'll give you directions, bills. Stop by the shop, because he's got a back room. If you can't find it back there, you ain't going to find it.
An easy stop for you, then afterwards we get the run right after. Good deal.
Hold on a second. You're talking about the solder gun or the heat gun? Right over there on the other bike. Yeah, my son wants a bike. Looking for a part. Yeah, what do you say about a back room now, if I can't?
No, if you can't find what you need in Bill's back room, Harley didn't make it.
Okay. Yeah, so he's got, I got a backyard like that, but it's got everything in it. Tractors, cars, trucks, sand rails, quads, everything. Old cars, trucks, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, people come over to my neighbors, hey, man, I got this. Here you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a guy just before this, about 10 minutes, well, right after we hung up with you, someone rang my doorbell and wanted to know if I was selling that 66 SS-396 that's parked in the driveway.
Nice.
By the way,
I used to have a 67.
By the way, Philip, your El Camino's got a flat tire.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I didn't want to bust your balls in that.
I know.
Well, Ted, what do you think? I think that's a good interview for tonight. We appreciate that, and I'm sure you made some new friends out there. You certainly made a lot of people happy by being up front with them and talk to them. Yeah,
right on. I mean,
cool.
Anytime.
And we're
going to
catch you either at the boot ride or one of the other rides or somewhere damn soon.
I'm gonna be at the boot ride. I'm gonna go to the Long Beach Swap Meet first.
Okay.
I was going to ride in with the Mayans, but I already promised my friends that I'll ride with them to the swap meet and to the boot ride.
Right.
And then, I'll see you there. And,
okay,
yeah,
just come up and say hi.
Yeah, I will. And then we'll convince a little bit, and I'll tell you how to get the bills and stuff, and we'll go from there. But
okay, right on. Sounds good.
I'll be looking forward to see you Sunday.
Okay. All right, buddy.
All right,
Ted. Thanks again for taking
the
time. We appreciate that, all right?
All right. Good night, everybody. All right.
Bye-bye. Hello?
So, like I was saying, Bill, that was he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, you know, and the fact is, I hope Ted still hit his. I appreciate the fact he was so open and honest with the people. I appreciate the fact that many of our listeners took the time to call and ask the poignant questions. I'm hoping in the future we'll get more and more people not so nervous to call and talk to us.
I know, huh?
You know, Phil and I are easygoing people. You must know that by now. I don't mind. Page is a page. You text message or whatever the hell you guys do. I write all the messages down. I ask our host that, but, hey, pick up the phone. Ask these guys personally yourself. Talk to them, you know, they're all good people.
Yeah.
And come on out for the bike rides with us.
Yeah. And just check out the blog at bikersofamericablogspot.com. And you'll see once I confirm who next week's guest is.
That's right. Which will be later on.
Which will be probably the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm. But the new title of this show is, once again?
On Wednesdays, it's the Sam Crow Radio Hour or radio show. And then we still have our early gig on Tuesdays
and Thursdays.
All right,
about the Bikers' Rights. We'll never forget that.
Right.
But we want more and more people to be comfortable, call in, speak to our guests in person. Again, if you're uncomfortable and you want to email me or text Philip or anything like that, I'd be glad to ask all the questions and all that. But I thought by now everybody would be comfortable.
Oh, you're going to start answering emails? You mean I get a break?
No, you would tell me what the damn thing with that bullshit.
Here we go. You know. See, everybody, Bill thinks the computer is the devil.
Every time you use it, you lose another piece of your soul. Or like a friend of mine riding down the freeway lost his cell phone. And every bit of information he has, gone.
No, actually, I got some written down.
Yeah, but you got a lot, blah, blah, blah. A lot
I got
of homework
a box.
To do.
Yeah, I know.
To
I got
transfer
a,
from
yeah,
one to
I
the
know.
Other and all
there
that.
There we go.
Yeah. So now great. When the police pull you over, they have access to your cell phone?
No.
I think President Obama said today, check with me, I was listening to the news, he's going to make stops, seizures, confiscation of cell phones, and they can be used for the police to check that out. Obama said that today, brother.
Well,
you didn't say what states and all that, I get part of it.
It's just like when you go to the VA, Bill, and the doctor asks you, do you have any guns at home? What are you going to answer?
What the hell would the VA ask you that question
for?
They do?
They've been doing that for the last 5 years.
Oh, no, sir.
You walk in, sit down, and see the doctor, they ask you, how many guns you got at home?
No, I don't think you should arm your bears. No, not at all.
I don't think you should tell them anything.
You're right. Just
because
shut
what they're doing,
up, as we always say, right,
that's
brother?
Right, because they're collecting data, so.
Yeah.
Basically, they know all the veterans are going to stand up for this bullshit that they're trying to do, and that's where they're going to...
You know, when I speak at veteran runs, before I start and all that, I ask everybody, you know, I'm not from this area, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable. Will all the veterans in the audience here please raise your hands? I say, oh, good. I want to know who's got all the guns in case some shit happens, and all the
that's
vets
it.
Crack up, because they're all loaded. They're all packing.
That's it. So other than that, we're going to call it a night, and... We'll see everybody tomorrow for the Bikers of America, the Phil and Bill show at Blog Talk Radio.
And please, anybody in L.A. for the boot ride, stop up, say hello, Phil or Bill, whichever one is, or both of us are up there, we're not sure. But walk up, say hello to us.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll have all the celebrities there, you want to talk to them. But what the hell, we're there anyway. Come on now.
Exactly. So we'll catch everybody on the flip side.
Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night, Bill. Okay. Good night, Phil.
Good night.